I'm going to talk about my favorite subject today, the Word of God. And that one thing, the Word of God, anything that you need on this earth, you can receive any good thing from the Word. Whatever, any area of our life. That's why it's so vital that the Word have its place in your life, because everything, every benefit from God is derived from the Word of God. And if you're not getting it direct, you're getting second best. So I'll just start out with a little bit of our personal testimony and what the Word, you'll see some of the things the Word's done in our lives. We really needed the Word when we first found it, as we all do, in every way. I mean, some people are sick, some people are broke, some people are all of them. And whatever station you're in, if you don't already have the revelation knowledge of God's Word, you need it. And it's the only thing that will meet every need. I mean, there are some things you can get financial help from one place or another. Sometimes you can get healing help from natural sources. But then sometimes you can't. Sometimes man has no answer in that area. But the Word of God has an answer regardless. I mean, there's no situation that God's Word won't fix. And that is a tremendous comfort to me. So Ken and I, when we were married, were neither one of us born again. He was a commercial pilot, and I had always said, I don't know why, but I had always said, I'll go along with anything, but I'm not going to marry a preacher. I'm just not going to marry a preacher. And I didn't marry a preacher. He was a commercial pilot. And really, all the preachers I'd known up to that time, I still don't think I'd wanted to marry one, you know. He was flying for a living, and he quit his job and he went to work. We were going to get rich really quick. I know none of you have ever done that in this life, but we were going to get rich quick. And we went into a new business with some people, and it only took about just a couple of weeks for it to go broker. I think it started out that way, but we didn't know it. So I had quit my job to go to work for them, and Ken was working for them. So when they didn't have any money to pay, well, you know, that was just it quick, because both of us were working there. So because we were going to get so rich so quick, we'd moved into a house on a lease purchase agreement without any furniture, because we were going to have all this money to buy furniture. So there we were, which was going to be temporary. I mean, we planned for it to be temporary. And we had a rented rollaway bed that just did this in the middle. We had a television set and a coffee table and a coffee pot and a cardboard box on the back porch for our refrigerator. So you see, we needed help badly. I mean, we were desperate. We'd been married about six months, I guess, at this time. So Ken was out looking for a job, and, you know, I didn't have any furniture to dust. I didn't have anything to clean, had nothing to do, nothing to eat except potatoes. And the television ceased to be a pleasure after a little while. So I picked up that Bible that his mother had given him. And the inscription on the front said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." That got my attention really quick, because I needed those other things added quickly. So I began to read, and I had tried to read the Word before. You know, it was just like a chore. You do it because you're supposed to do it. And it never had revealed itself to me before. And I began to read, and I read that sixth chapter of Matthew, where it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God," and that he knows even when a sparrow falls, and he clothes the grass of the field. And for the first time in my life, the light of God's Word got through to me. And I began to see that God loved me. I didn't know that. Nobody had ever told me that. And I saw from that scripture, just reading there, I mean, it never occurred to me that he'd lie about it, you know. And just reading that scripture, I saw that God cared for me and that he cares if I would, you know, get in line or just offer. I just saw for the first time a ray of hope in my situation. I was desperate. And so I asked the Lord to do something with my life. And I was so scripturally ignorant that I didn't know I'd been born again for 3 months until after I received the Holy Spirit. So that proves you don't have to know much. I noticed a change in me, but I had no idea about the new birth. Nobody had ever told me that there was such a thing. But I noticed that I had a desire to do the only things I knew that associated with God, which was to go to church and so on. And I had a desire to do those things all of a sudden. And I prayed and I asked God to do something with our situation in our life. And I mean, I had no experience that he would do that. I just had seen that word, and I realized that he cared. And within 2 weeks, Ken had a new job, we had a new car, and we were living in a new apartment with furniture. And still, I didn't know, you know, what I can look back and see now. And within 2 weeks of that time, Ken accepted the Lord in our living room just by himself. He knew how to be born again. He was raised in the Baptist church, and he had heard how, but I hadn't heard how. So he came to the Lord within a couple of weeks of that time. And a few months later, we received the Holy Spirit. And we really had a desire to live for God. We wanted to do the thing that would please God in our lives. We had a desire to be productive in the kingdom of God. But, you know, that desire just wasn't enough. We had that desire, but we didn't know how. I mean, we lived about the same way we'd always lived. You know, you couldn't tell us from the people next door. I mean, we were still in debt. We didn't know any better than to be sick, you know. We just didn't know how to live a victorious life, but we wanted to. I mean, we really wanted to do it. We wanted to do the thing that God wanted us to do, but you have to have some knowledge of what God says in his word before you can act on it. And just what we knew didn't do it. You know, all we knew was what we could see other people doing or what tradition says you do. And tradition won't make you a victorious Christian. It takes the word of God to make you a victorious Christian. So we rocked along like that for about 5 years, not growing any, just, you know, circumstances controlling our lives instead of us controlling our circumstances. I mean, we couldn't help anybody else because we were so busy trying to keep our head above water that we didn't have time to help anybody else, nor did we know how to help anybody else. But the main thing I want to share with you today is the thing that changed our lives from living a defeated Christian life into a victorious Christian life. In the meantime, Ken answered the call to the ministry, and we believed that God's will was for us to go to Oral Roberts University. And so we did that by faith, but yet not knowing how faith works. But we acted on it. We packed up our two little kids. Ken was 30 years old. He enrolled as a freshman. He got brain cramps from having to study, you know, after all those years. And he never had really what you call excelled in school. Like he told you last night, he breezed through a couple of weeks here and a couple of weeks there, this university and that one. But here he was. Now he's serious. He's on God's business, and he's got to do well, you know. So he just cranked his old brain up and put it to work. But anyway, we enrolled there because we believed that was God's will for us, and we were so through with doing what we thought was the thing to do. By this time, God's got something for you to do, you can't really succeed in anything else. And we had failed from one thing to another. We changed jobs every 6 months, you know, and if Ken did a good job, then the people wouldn't pay him. If the people would pay him, then he didn't do the job. You know, it was just a failure syndrome going over and over. And we were really tired of that. And for some time he had known that he was calling to the ministry, yet he felt like, well, gee, if I do that, you know, we'll starve. And it couldn't have been any worse. But, you know, you don't think like that. You think reasonable people sometimes miss out on the best things, you know, if they don't make their reason conform to the word. So anyway, we went up there with no money in the bank, two kids, and no job, and Ken enrolled in school, and we really didn't know anything about faith, but we just knew we were ready to go do what God had told us to do regardless. And so we began to learn a little here and a little there, and God took care of us miraculously while we were there, financially, because Ken worked as co-pilot on the airplane, but that was, you know, didn't pay very much money, so that was only a little part-time. So we really had no visible means of support, and we didn't know what we know now, but we did begin to learn. You can learn quickly in a situation like that. So we stayed there a while. We learned a little about Ken began to travel with Brother Roberts on the airplane, and he was with him in his prayer room when they prayed for invalids in the prayer room. That was back right before he quit going out in tent meetings. And he learned how to pray for the sick and the ministry of deliverance. I mean, had he known several years ago when he first got to go to Oral Roberts University that God was going to put him in a position to learn personally from Brother Roberts, I'm sure he would have gotten up there a lot quicker. But, you know, God wants us to walk by faith. And he won't sometimes tell you how great something's going to be. You just have to believe and know that God's got the best for you and walk on that, and then it'll be better and better than you'd ever thought. We didn't know if we would be at the university 7 years. At that time, they had a theological school, or if we would be there 7 days, you know. But God required us to go by faith, and we were willing to do whatever it took to please him. So we learned some things, but then there was this one thing that we came across that changed our entire lives. We were growing all the time, but this thing revolutionized our lives. And it was the first tape that we had heard that had, well, I'm not sure, it may have been the first one we had ever heard of Brother Hagin's on You Can Have What You Say. And we saw in that tape what we'd been looking for, something that you could hang your life on that was stable, that would work every time. In other words, we believed in healing because we were full gospel people and we believed in healing. But believing in healing and believing that God heals me is two different things. And believing in healing won't cause healing to produce in your body. But you believing that God will heal me will cause healing to come in your body. And so that was the difference in being a vague believing Christian and believing something that you know is the same today that as it will be tomorrow, and it's stable, and that's the Word of God. So we began to learn some things about God's Word, and our lives changed drastically. I mean, all of a sudden, the vagueness of our Christianity and our walk was gone. We knew where we could go to get concrete advice on anything, that if we saw it in the Word, it would come to pass if we would receive it. That it didn't work. Sometimes you'd get healed and sometimes you wouldn't. Or sometimes you'd get financial help and sometimes you wouldn't. The Word of God got us out of that area. I mean, it is a joy and a blessing to live on this earth and know where you stand. And you can't do it outside God's Word. You can't do it living on what somebody else says. I can't tell you these things this morning and you benefit by them unless you receive them and put them into your life. So I'm going to share some things with you today about God's Word and how to approach His Word that changed our lives, and it'll change your life if you haven't already done it, and refresh you if you already know it. A few things we found out about the Word of God is that it was God speaking to me. I found out that God's Word is God speaking to me, to take it literally. Whatever I see and hear is mine. It belongs to me. It's God speaking to me. We found out that the Word of God is a revelation of what He's already prepared for His children. These are not all promises. Many of them are already facts. Most of it's already facts that already belong to you, just like your money in this earth that's in the bank belongs to you. The things from God's Word is already yours, and it belongs to you. I found out that the Word of God is God's will for me. God's Word is His will. Whatever you see in that Word, that's God's will for you. Many people don't know whether it's actually God's will that they be healed or not. They believe in healing, but I don't know if it's God's will to heal me. I know you've heard that. Well, it's in His Word, and whatever you see in His Word, that's His will. So see what that Word does for you. It gets you out of an area of being unsure and puts you in a secure place of knowing this is God's will. So we found out that that Word is God's will for our lives. The Word of God is alive. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word God speaks is alive and full of power. This is the Amplified Translation. The Word God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, and energizing. That Word is alive. It's a living thing. It's not a book like other books on the shelf. It is the living Word of God. It is active, operative, energizing. There's power in it. It's full of power. The illustration the Lord gave me for this some years ago is so vivid to me even now. Genesis 1:14 says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, to give light upon the earth." That word went forth out of his mouth all those thousands of years ago, and that word is still alive and still full of power, and the sun and the moon and the stars are still being upheld by the word that he spoke back there that many years ago. And the sun wouldn't dare fail to shine. The moon wouldn't dare fail to give her light. When it's cloudy here, like it looks like it is outside today, I haven't been out there, but when it's cloudy here, you don't think the sun can quit shining. The sun has to shine. It's shining up there on the other side of those clouds because God's word said, you be in the firmament and you give light to the earth. And that word is still just as powerful and just as alive as the day he slung the universe into existence. And the thing that thrills me and I want to share with you today is his word has gone forth in just that same way concerning your healing. His word has gone forth concerning your prayer life. His word has gone forth in the same power, with the same authority, same aliveness, concerning your salvation, concerning every need that a person can have. God's word has gone forth from him, and it is still alive, and it's still operating in the earth. It would be no more powerful if he said it to you right now. That word is alive. Anything you see in this book is alive and full of power. And those lights in the firmament wouldn't dare cease to shine. They'll stay there and they'll shine until God tells them to do something else. And his word concerning your own life would not dare fail to come to pass if you would apply it and receive it. You receive these things by faith. And if you receive the word about your healing, if you receive the word about your salvation or your financial things, there is no power in heaven, in earth, or in hell. Heaven won't stop it, and none of the others can stop it because it's God's word and it's alive and full of power. It would mean no more to me if Jesus were to appear to me in the flesh and tell me something that I see in the word. When I see Matthew 8:17 and 1 Peter 2:24, that it says to me, "Gloria, I bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases, and by my stripes you were healed." Now, I'm telling you the truth when I tell you today that if I saw Jesus standing here telling me that, it would have no more authority. I'd enjoy it, but it would have no more authority in my life than because I see it in God's word. When you look at the word like that, as God speaking to you, and you give it its rightful place of authority, it will produce miracles in your life. And it's just as powerful as the Lord himself calling you by your name and saying something to you. Because that word is alive. The word of God is supernatural. Every word from God has the power in it to accomplish that for which it was sent. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I had sent it." The word is supernatural. It has power in it to cause itself to come to pass. If it's a word about healing, it has the power in it to produce healing in your body. It is a supernatural word. The way it works is in Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It works through faith in your heart. As you hear the word, and I tell you this morning what God's word says about your healing, your faith will rise up within you to receive it if you receive that word. And that's the way it works. But that word has the power in it to produce whatever it says in your life and in your body. God and his word are one. His power is in his word. He watches over his word to perform it. His presence is in his word. You can't separate God from his word. I mean, his presence, his very being is in this word. "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations." And that's what the word of God is. It's the thoughts of his heart to you. It's the thoughts of his heart to his children. Not his subjects or his slaves, but it's the thoughts of his heart to his children. You know, God didn't give us the word in order to have slaves or to put people in bondage. Jesus said it's the truth that makes you free. God gave us the word so that we could live a victorious life here in this earth and be out from under the power of Satan, his enemy and our enemy. He gave us the word for our benefit. When you start into the word and placing the word in your life, you know without doubt that God's word is written for your benefit. It always works to your advantage. Many times you don't see all of the advantage there is. You think, well, I could take this natural means and maybe get faster results. I mean, the natural mind thinks that. You could get faster results if you did it the world system instead of doing what God says. But it doesn't work that way in the long run. God's word is written for your good, and what he says in there you can do without any doubt or hesitating that I know what I see in here is for my very best. And I can truthfully go and look at the word, and if it says something that I don't want to do, or maybe I'd rather do something a different way, I know I have to say, now mind, you know that God's word is for your best. He wrote it for your benefit. He gave it to you for your success. And you act on it in faith, even though it might look like a different way would be easier or faster. And now, as I've operated it through the years, it has never failed, of course, to prove that that's true. But when we first started and we made a decision that whatever we saw in the word, we'd do it, we really didn't know how things worked. We didn't know how prosperity worked at that time. We believed that it was there, but we didn't know how it worked. When we would see something in the word that we thought, well, now if we do this, we're not going to be able to do what most people do in this area or that area, take the easy way out. We didn't know then what we know now, that God will. He is more than First Federal Savings and Loan. But we didn't know that then, you know. We didn't know what if we just did what we saw in the Word and in the area of prosperity, we didn't know what we'd have to do without. Because we were, at that time, we were without. We were behind. We were still catching up with all of our failure syndromes. But we didn't know that then. We didn't know that we would even financially be better off on God's system, because it sure looked like it'd be nearly impossible to, you know, to do the things like everybody else does and still not comply with the world's rules on it. But now we know. I can look back and I see, of course, and I'm telling you, and if you'd like to take my word for it, whatever you see in God's word, that is the very best you can attain in this world. The very best, the crown of life, as the word says, God will give you through his word. And even though you can't see the end result, it might look like you could find a better way than that. Take it by faith. That's the very best. You'll enjoy the very best that this world has to offer. When God has spoken it once, he has spoken it forever. You know, Harriet, speaking of the old Hebrew tradition today, of the bell tinkling, you know, there's a lot of people that would like to do that. They'd think, now, if I could hear that bell tinkling when I give my offering, I think I could believe that my crops wouldn't go bad and my needs would be met. And I think I could believe, if I could hear that bell, that my body would be healed. And that's the area that a lot of people want to go along in today. A lot of believers and a lot of spirit-filled believers, because there's no responsibility in that. You could just sit there sick until you hear the bell. You wouldn't have to act on anything God's word said. You could just sit there and suffer in your self-pity until you heard the bell. But we're not, that she said that was an old Hebrew tradition. Well, we're not old Hebrews. We are born-again, spirit-filled believers. You are a believer who can believe the word. And so things don't operate for us as though we were. We are believers. And the thing that is so glorious, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from you by telling you that. The thing that is so glorious is I'm telling you that whatever you see and hear, you can have it any time, day or night. You don't have to wait on a preacher to come to town and pray for you. You don't have to wait to hear a bell. You don't have to wait until someone prophesies to you and says you can have it. I'm telling you that you can have it. It is yours. It belongs to you. All you have to do is open that word, find what you need, and take it. Now, that's much better. And I'm also telling you that you can do it because you are a believer. You think, well, I need a sign. No, you don't need a sign. You are a believer, and a believer can believe. That faith was put into you when you were born again, and you can believe. You are a believer. A believer can believe. What kind of believer would it be that couldn't believe? You are a believer. There was a lady in a church Ken used to go and preach in, and she was an old lady. And she's still an old lady. I mean, she is still kicking up, and you'll see her in the meetings till yet, you know, in the middle of the night. She doesn't care. I guess she's 90 or more. But she had probably been in, you know, the full gospel way for longer than I'd been born. But she had this thing. Whenever she got sick, she could believe, but she, I mean, she had her own system about it. Whenever she got sick or needed anything from God, she would believe that somebody would come and give her a word from the Lord, and then she would receive it. And so I heard her testify one night that she'd been sick, you know, really doing bad, and somebody had come and given her a word, and then she said, and of course I began, you know, I got well and everything was all right. Well, the good news is that you don't have to wait until someone, see, she didn't know that she could take this Bible, if she needed healing, she could take this Bible and turn it to Matthew 8:17, and receive from it. Because it says it already belongs to you, that Jesus bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases. Well, she didn't know that. She thought someone had to come and make it so in her life. And it was an honest mistake, and a mistake that a lot of people make and are still waiting on. But the thing is that you have this with you all the time, or you can have it with you all the time, and you don't have to wait if you need healing to go get somebody to pray for you. If you need more finances, you don't have to wait. You can turn in there where it says, my God liberally meets my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You can turn in there and see where you've been redeemed from the curse of poverty. You can turn in there and see where God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always, whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Now, you can do that without waiting. Amen. And that's what thrills me so, and that's what makes my life so free, is because I know when I need something, I don't have to wait another minute. I can get it from God's Word, and I can get it direct, and it'll work every time. Every time. It never fails. God's word is supernatural, and when God's spoken it once, he's spoken it forever. When Ken and I moved to Tulsa, I already told you we didn't know very much about what we were doing as far as walking in faith, but we were willing. There's something I'm going to share with you about putting God's word first place that I learned there. Now, I didn't know the scriptural background for it then. I just knew I was impressed to do it, and I did it. But I had heard Brother Robert say that when he got ready to go into the ministry of deliverance, healing, and so on. He was a pastor at the time. He said when he got ready to go into that, the Lord told him if he wanted a greater revelation of Jesus, to read the gospel in Acts 4 times in 30 days. And I'd heard him say it, and I had seen it in a book he wrote, been impressed that I should do it. But we had just moved to Tulsa, and I was not unpacked, and I had 2 small children. And I just thought, this is not the time. But I had made this commitment only a few weeks before, and I'd said, God, whatever you want me to do, if you'll reveal it to me, I'll do it. I mean, whether I like it or not, I'll do it. If you'll let me know that that's what you want me to do. Well, I'd made that commitment, so now I couldn't, you know, chilly out on that. And I felt really impressed that I should do it. So I told Ken, and he was beginning to start to school, and I said, now, you know, if I do this, I may not be able to cook. I may not be able to do the ironing like I should, unpack all this stuff. I mean, but I feel like that's what God wants me to do. I just want to know if you want to go along with it. And he said that was fine with him for me to do whatever I thought was the thing to do. And I don't like to put things off, but I had boxes, you know, to be unpacked and just in a general mess. I mean, just hadn't had time to straighten out. And so I reconciled myself to putting all that work off for 30 days because I knew that I'd have to put this first, and if I did, I wouldn't have much extra time. John was 9 months and Kelly was 3, and they were at a very demanding age, and they wouldn't wait 30 minutes, much less 30 days. And I had to, you know, be on go when they needed something. And so I just was willing then to let all this other stuff pile up. And I really didn't want to do that. I don't like to do it. I like to get it done. But I thought I had no choice in the matter. So I made a commitment to do that. And I figured out how many pages I'd have to read a day in order to fulfill that so I wouldn't get behind where I couldn't catch up. So I figured that out. And I set aside 3 times a day. I got up at 5:30 in the morning and I read until everybody else got up. And then at noon when I put the kids to sleep, after lunch, I read again as long as I could. And then at night, I just said, oh, I'll schedule things. I'll wash the dishes and go to bed and read whatever I haven't read, however long it takes. Well, that's what I'm going to do. So that's the way I set up. And I learned something that was miraculous, and I didn't know for a long time after where it came from. But now I know it's scriptural. The very first day I started, I sat down at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had all my work done for that day. I mean, I had spent hours in the Word of God already, and I had all my work done for that day, and I hadn't done that since I'd been in Tulsa. You know, I hadn't sat down with everything I needed to do done, and I was really amazed, not knowing what I know that now about putting God's Word first place in your life. And I began to think about that, you know, well, this is miraculous. Here I am. I've committed to do this. I've spent hours in the Word, and I've got all my work done. How did I do it? So that week, I did everything I needed to do, got all my ironing caught up, did everything. I antiqued from start to finish 4 pieces of furniture. In 1 week, I've never done that before or since, but I was putting God's Word first place in my life, and I had committed to do that regardless. I was going to put that Word first because I'd committed to read the Gospel in Acts 4 times in 30 days. It came out to 4 hours maybe or 4.5 hours a day with your other stuff. But I saw that later that that's scriptural. It says that in Proverbs 4:7-8 says, for skillful and godly wisdom is the principal thing. Prize wisdom highly and exalt her, and she will exalt and promote you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. Well, I had exalted wisdom. God's wisdom is God's Word. I had exalted that wisdom and His Word in my life, and that Word had exalted me. It had helped me. When you commit to God's Word, He'll commit to you. And I saw a miraculous thing there, and it's never left me. And I'm, you know, still, when I get bogged down, and you can do this too, if you'll put God's Word first place in your life, your other things will be taken care of. All the other things you need, God will see to it that they get done. And I can go along, and I'll think, oh, I've got more things to do than I can do. I mean, have you ever been, I know you haven't ever been under this kind of pressure, where you feel like, what am I going to do? I just feel like I've got more pressure on me than I can bear. And then this whole long list of things that are undone come flash before your eyes. And you think, what am I going to do? How am I ever going to get it all done? I mean, you know what I mean, ladies. And you can look back, and I can do that now. I'll be driving along in my car, and I'll think, I have got more to do than I can possibly do. I mean, how am I going to get all this done? And then, Gloria, you haven't been spending time in the Word like you should, or you wouldn't be in this situation. And that is true. It's supernatural. When you feel yourself getting bogged down in the affairs of life, I guarantee you that you can look back over the last few days and your time in God's Word has gone for something else. Because when you give that Word its rightful place, which is first place, final authority, prize it highly and exalt it and give it first place in your life, God's Word will take care of your other affairs, and they'll just fall in line. But when you let the other things get first place, then you get bogged down in it. And if you think, for instance, businessmen, I know a lot of the ladies get to stay at home, and they can have time to read and study, and businessmen, a lot of them have to hit the door at, you know, at a certain time to go to work, and they don't really have the time that we have, and some of them think, Well, I just don't have time to spend the time in the Word like my wife does. If you'll just think back now about all the time that it takes you to undo a mistake. I mean, Ken was talking last night about sitting in a lawyer's office for hours to undo a mistake. Or all the time when I have to go get a flight physical for my pilot's license, and I have to take my kids to get their school shots. And that's the only time that I go to the doctor. I don't need him. And I get in there and I sit and I think, oh, these poor, and I'm well in there. You know, I'd only came for him to tell me I'm well, but these other poor people are sick waiting hours to see him. And I think of all the time that I've saved over the last few years by just not sitting in that doctor's office. And so you're going to spend the time. If you don't spend the time in the Word, you're going to spend it somewhere else trying to get your problems taken care of. And it is so much better to spend the time whole and healed and make you, and you know, discipline yourself to spend the time when you're well than have to go spend it, and he may not have a cure either when you get there. So spend the time in the Word. And businessmen don't have time not to stay in the Word. Housewives don't have time not to stay. There's not enough time for you not to stay in the Word. Mechanics, bus drivers, whatever you do, you don't have time not to spend in the Word. So put God's Word first place in your life. And I'll tell you something else. You do make a one-time decision, but you do it every day too. Because Satan really would prefer that you do anything than spend your time in God's Word. He knows that it's the Word of God that makes you free from him. And that is the only thing in this world that'll make you free from him. But God's Word will make you free from Satan. And he knows that. He's had enough experience to figure that out. That God's Word will make you free. He'll lose his dominion over you if you spend time and put God's Word in the right place in your life. And he'd rather you do anything. Why, he'll let you take potato salad to a bereaved widow. He'll let you work down at the church bazaar. He'll let you do anything. He'll let you do, rather you do anything than spend time in God's Word. You put God's Word first place in your life in two ways. You have to make your schedule around the Word of God instead of trying to make the Word fit into your busy life. And you make what God says the authority in your life. You not only believe what God says to you in the Word, but you also act on it. And right now we're talking about making your schedule around the Word of God. Because if you don't, I guarantee you, you won't have time. I mean, there is not enough time unless you put God's Word first place. Satan will see to that. But you take authority over your time. And don't wait and think, well, I'll do that tomorrow when I have time. I don't have time today. You just make a commitment to God and say, I'm going to put your Word first place in my life. I know that if I do that by faith, I'll have time for all these other things. And they'll all, these odds and ends that are hanging, they'll all be met and I'll be taken care of if I put your Word first place. And you do that by faith and you will experience miracles. I mean, things just fall in line. That old pressure will just leave you. And when I do make that mistake and get too busy and realize that that's what I've done, I know better than to say, yeah, I know that's what I've done, and just keep going the same route I'm going. Don't just agree with it. You say, yes, I know that's what I've done, and I'm going to cut everything off right now, and I'm going to spend time in the Word, and I'm going to get this situation straightened out. I'm going to put God's Word first place in my life where it ought to be, and then do it. Go do it then. Don't wait and let that go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. You've got time to spend in God's Word. Learn to set aside the less important things in life in order to spend time in God's Word. Exalt the Word in your life, and the Word will exalt and promote you. Guard your time in the Word. Don't let Satan steal it away from you. You have authority in your life. Don't let him steal it away from you. Put God's Word first place in your life. I want to go over God's success formula in Joshua 1:8 if you'd like to turn there. We'll be there for a little while. And what we were talking about as far as businessmen and not having time, or housewives or bus drivers or anybody, this scripture here tells us that if we'll meditate in the Word day and night, we will deal wisely and have good success. And that is the area where putting God's word first place in your life gets you back your time. It gets you back that time that you'd spend in the doctor's office if you didn't do it. It gets you back that time you'd spend with your mind muddled up trying to figure out how I'm going to get out of this dumb thing that I did a few weeks ago. Or spending time in the lawyer's office from making some deal that you wouldn't have made if you'd have dealt wisely. This area we're talking about is directly connected with putting God's word first place in your life and your time coming back to you. The Amplified Bible says in Joshua 1:8, says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success." When you meditate the word, you make your way prosperous. You spend time in that word and do it. You make your way prosperous. Your way has no choice but to be prosperous when you do that. And you deal wisely. And when you deal wisely, you have good success. So let's take this formula apart. This formula will work in any area. It'll work for healing. It'll work for finances. It'll work for anything, any need that man can have on this earth. This formula will get the results. So let's just take it apart. It starts with the word, the book of the law, God's word, shall not depart out of your mouth. It shall not depart out of your mouth. So the first thing God told him to do was talk God's word. Talk God's word. Talk God's word. Keep that word in your mouth. Keep God's word in your mouth. God told Israel this in Deuteronomy 6:6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." He said, you'll talk the word when you sit down, when you walk, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, that's almost all the time. I can't think of when that's not. I mean, that is talk God's word. He said, you shall talk God's word all the time. Well, you say, how can that be possible? How could I talk God's word all the time? Well, Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's where meditation in God's word. That's what he told Joshua. He said, meditate in my word day and night. And when you meditate in God's word and get God's word down in your heart in abundance, it will come out your mouth. I remember when I was learning these things. I mean, it was like a whole new Christian world to me when I found out what I'm telling you this morning. It was what I'd been looking for all my Christian life. It was the thing I'd been looking for to make my life stable. And I was so thrilled with it that I just devoured everything I could find. I mean, I made an effort, and really it wasn't much of an effort, to meditate in the Word day and night. I listened to tapes. I read the books about faith. This was while Ken was in school, and then he was just starting into the ministry, and I was not traveling with him at that time. I was staying home with the children. We were still living in Tulsa. And so I had a lot of time. And all the time, I don't think I even had a car. But all the time that I didn't have to take care of my children, I spent in my house and so on. I spent in the Word. I hurried through that housework to get in the Word. And I listened to tapes and I took notes. And I just was putting that Word in my heart, putting that Word in my heart, putting that Word in my heart. And from the very first day, I began to see, you know, that the Word was true. And whatever I saw in there was mine and I could have it. And the things of faith, well, my life began to get better and began to change. But then I kept feeding my spirit on the Word of God. Kept feeding my spirit on these things of redemption and the things that Jesus has purchased for us. And I just kept doing that and kept doing that and kept doing that and kept doing that. And I just get more excited and more excited and more excited. And I was there all by myself, except for the little kids. So one day I remember I was out hanging up the clothes and I just had this on my mind and I was hanging up clothes and the telephone rang and I'd been meditating on the Word and thinking about it and I was so thrilled. All by myself, I was in this great revival. And I was so thrilled and I answered the phone and I said, "Hallelujah," instead of saying hello. But I was caught up in what I was doing. I was thrilled. I was being set free for the first time in my life. One night Ken called in. He had been preaching somewhere. And this is what I was going to tell you about putting the word in abundance. I just kept putting it in. And, you know, I know the time that it got to where I had so much faith in my spirit that you could say that it was in there in abundance. I mean, it felt different. I believed all these things, and I was acting on them as fast as I could see them. But I remember the day. I remember talking to him on the telephone when he called in. I just, all of a sudden, this whole, all these things that I've been putting in me just got so big inside of me. And I just knew what I knew, what I knew. I mean, it was no struggle to believe that. And it has never been any struggle. Never since that time have I had any struggle with believing anything I can see in the Word. I tell you, I can pray and believe I receive something, and I could stand forever if it took it. Without wavering, without moving, because I've got God's word in me in abundance, and I believe it more than anything I can see. And you don't have to pray and waver. You're not supposed to pray and waver. You're supposed to pray and believe you receive it and not ever get off of it, and you can do that. But this day, I mean, I just knew what I knew, what I knew, what I knew, and it's never gone away. I mean, I had God's word in me in abundance. And I've kept it there and kept it there and operated on it. Well, I was so excited. I mean, when I talked to Kenneth, I just really preached him a sermon. But putting God's word in you in abundance is so real that I can look back in my life and know the day that I got more of that in there than I had anything else. See, abundance means abundance. Abundance doesn't mean a little bit here and a promise card there. Abundance means abundance. More than you can see any way to use. And if you just spend a few minutes a day or a little time in the Word. Now, I did what I believe is the easiest way when you started on your walk of faith and living by faith. I mean, we were committed to live by faith. And what we did, we didn't just go to a seminar here and then in 6 months go to another seminar and try to grow that way. That's better than nothing. But we took what the world calls a total immersion class. I mean, we took a crash course in faith. That's all we did for like 6 months. I mean, that is all we did. Every waking hour that we didn't have to do something else, we were studying night and day those tapes. And I think that's the fastest way to get it. The other way will get you help, but it's slow. But all the time you've got, put time in the Word, particularly till you get it in there, until you know what you know what you know. I mean, Ken, one time when we were first learning these things, he went in the garage and he stayed like 7 days. He'd come out to eat and he'd go back and listen to his tapes night and day. But that works. That total immersion way of learning works in the world of faith. But you can, it's so real about getting the word in you in abundance that you can know when it happens. I don't know if everybody always does or not, but I know when it happened to me. But whatever, if you just spend a little time in the Word and a lot of time watching TV and a lot of time reading newspapers, reading magazines or whatever, you know, it's going to be where you spend your time that's in you in abundance, really. And if you want to walk the walk of faith uncompromisingly, then spend your time in the Word. Spend your time in the Word. Because whatever you spend your time doing, that's what's in your heart in abundance. And if you don't believe that, let's just give you this little test and see what you've been putting in there in abundance. Now, the words that come out your mouth are the words that you've got in your heart in abundance. And frankly, what you say with your mouth is what you really believe. If you say, if you believe in healing, but with your mouth you continually say, I'm sick, well, you believe in healing, that's right. You believe it's available. But you believe that you're sick. If that's what you say. It's what you say that you really believe. I mean, when it gets right down to acting on the word or acting on something else, it's what you say with your mouth that you'll do. So if you've been speaking words of defeat, doubt, discouragement, fear, sickness, well, you've been spending your time somewhere other than feeding on God's word. And you need to get your source of information changed. You need to think back now. Have I been spending time in front of TV, reading novels, reading the newspaper, doing this or doing that? Or have I been spending time feeding on God's Word, feeding your spirit on the Word of God? It's just like we're planning to go into a computer in our office, and so we've been having to find out what I know about computers is nil, you know. But we've been trying to find out about them, how they work. Well, you know, they'll just take whatever you feed in there. You can feed anything into a computer that you want to, and that's what you'll get back. And it's the same way with your mind and your heart. You can. You have a free will and a choice, and you can put anything in your mind and heart that you want to. But you just be prepared. That's what you're going to get back. And that's what you're going to say with your mouth. It's what you put in your heart and where you spend your time. You know, as I'm talking to you and you think, well, you know, I do have a bad confession. I mean, I continually say I'm sick, I'm taking a cold, my needs aren't met, my bills are piling up, my kids aren't obedient. As I'm talking to you now and you think that, there's no problem. All you have to do is change your source of information from whatever you're doing now to the Word of God. And that's the only way you'll do it, but that'll work, and it won't fail. Put God's Word in you in abundance, your confession will change to match it. You'll begin to say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, instead of I'm sick. You'll have the knowledge that the swine flu is not for you. You know, instead of I might get it. I always take the flu. Have you heard people say that? I always, you know, if anybody's going to get the flu, well, it's going to be me. No, you won't say that. You'll say the swine flu's not for me. Amen. I have nothing in common with the swine flu. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. But your source of information, where you get your information, is what determines what you put in your mouth. And if you want to talk God's Word, you're going to have to put it in your heart. The way you do that is to meditate in God's Word. Meditating in God's Word, that was the next thing. He said, talk God's Word, meditate on it day and night. Meditating is fixing your mind on the Word. Fixing your mind on the Word. I'll give you an opposite thing, worry. Worry is fixing your mind on something that's going to happen bad to you. It's really meditating on the word of the devil. See, that's what you're doing when you worry. You're meditating on the word of the devil. Well, when you meditate on God's word, you're meditating on the word of God. And that word will put you over. And that word will cause you to be a success. And when you read that word, it's all good things. And you see that I am taken care of. My needs are met. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. You begin to see these things and fix your mind on them. And here's the six things that I'll tell you to help you on meditating on God's Word. To meditate means to fix your mind. Fix your mind on the Word of God. Okay? Apply the Word to yourself personally. As you're studying, meditating, thinking about the Word, apply what you see in there to yourself personally. Allow the Holy Spirit to make God's Word a reality in your heart. Expect Him to teach you. He's been sent to teach you. He's the teacher of the church. That's His ministry. Allow Him to make that Word real to you. Carefully ponder how this Word applies to your life. What does this word from God say to me? I mean, what does it mean in my life? Dwell on how this word from the Lord changes your situation. How does this good news that I'm seeing here change my situation? Place yourself in agreement with what God says about you. Whatever you see in there that God says you are, that's what you are. Whatever you see in the word that God says you can do, that's what you can do. And whatever you see that God says you have, then that thing belongs to you. Put yourself in agreement with what He says and receive it. See yourself as God sees you. Realize the integrity of God's Word. The integrity of God's Word. That He'll do what He says He'll do. You know that if God said it, then that's the way it is. And all the devils in hell can't change it. You know that if God said it, you can rely on it. You can trust in it. And you know that's really what faith is. That is all faith is. Faith is believing what God says. It's believing that He'll do what He says He'll do. That's faith. Now, that's simple. And who, when you think about it, who would even think about not believing what God says? I mean, nobody expects God to lie to you. God's not a man that He should lie. Nobody expects Him to lie to you. And that's all faith is believing what God says in His Word, that He will do it. And you can rely on that. You can trust on it. You can know that if He said it, it will come to pass. All right, the next step is meditating. How you meditate on the Word. In other words, you take it personally. You apply it to your life. Whatever it says, you see your situation changed by it. If you're sick and you see that God says you're healed, you see yourself healed and begin to respond to that Word. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. God said it, I must be. The next thing, and this is where you really win or lose the game. I mean, it takes all these steps for the success formula to work, but this is where people stop a lot of times instead of going on, because this is where the responsibility really starts, and that's acting on God's Word. Now, what I've been telling you, to talk God's Word, put that Word in you, meditate in it, get it in your heart in abundance, but then all that is of no value unless you act on it once it's in there. And that's still a matter of your choice and your will. But knowledge is not enough. Just knowledge, even just revelation knowledge, is not enough. It's knowledge acted upon that gets results. It's acting on that Word that makes things in this world come to pass. I mean, the circumstances, the material things, the things of this world, Satan, they have no choice. When you act on God's Word, they have to get in line with it. Sickness has no choice. When you act on God's Word, it has no power to stay in your body. It's just like salvation. When you think about how you made Jesus Lord over your life, or when you came to Him. Now, if Satan was ever going to stop you, that would have been the best time to cause the Word not to come to pass before you really get started at this. But you know, never, never, never have you heard of anybody deciding to come to Jesus and making a decision, I'm going to make Jesus Lord of my life. You've never heard of anybody making that decision that couldn't get it done. I mean, when you decide that I am going to make Jesus Lord over my life, all the devils in hell can't stop it. There's nothing they can do. When you make that decision, because God's Word's out, there is nothing Satan can do to stop you when you make the decision to come to God. He just doesn't have that power. And the same thing's true about your healing. When you decide that I am receiving because I know Jesus bore my sicknesses the same way He bore my sins, and I make a decision, I'm receiving healing because of that, sickness has no power to stay. Sickness cannot stay when you act on God's Word. Neither can poverty, lack, any of the things that doubt, defeat, fear, none of those things have power to stand when you act on God's Word. They have to flee. When you resist Satan, he has to flee. He has no choice. But you see, it boils down to what you and I do with the Word. If we don't act on it, well, we'll just have to pay the consequences. And we'll be under Satan's thumb. But if we choose to act on it and do it, then he's powerless to hurt you. Powerless to hurt you. Jesus told us about two men enacting on the Word, the wise man and the foolish man. One, he said, the thing about these two men that we need to realize is that they both heard the Word. They both heard the Word. Now, what made the difference in the foolish man and the wise man? The wise man acted on what he heard, and the foolish man didn't. The wise man put the foundation under his house of doing the Word. That's what it says. It says, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. As the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Both men heard the word. Both men experienced the storm. But the storm had no effect on the man that acted on the word. And the other man, the fall of his house was great. So just hearing the word's not enough. You have to act on it to build your house on the rock. And when the storms of life come at you, they'll have no power to stand. You see, that man that had built his house on the rock, he was in the storm, but the storm had no adverse effect on him. He was in his house, and the storm was outside. Now, the other man, he was in his house, but his house was on him before it was over, see? So the storm had a terrible effect on that man's life. It says the fall of his house was great. But the other man, even though the storm was outside, he suffered no adverse effects. And so begin to build your faith now. Begin to put the word in your heart now. And begin to talk the word now. And begin to put the word first place now. Don't wait until you're faced with something like cancer or something desperate where you have to build your house. It's not too late then. But have you ever tried to build a house in the storm? Ken's told me about, he's been through several hurricanes, and he, you know, has told me that the trees bend down to the ground and the coconuts shoot through the air. And I think about this scripture, and I see a poor Claude out there trying to build his house with all this going on, you know, the wind blowing 100 miles an hour. So don't wait until you're desperate to build your faith. I promise you, you're going to need your faith. You are going to need your faith. I mean, you don't have to be very smart to know that you are going to need your faith. So don't wait until you're desperate. Do it now. Do it now. Make the decision that now I'm going to get in the Word. Now I'm going to build my faith. Now I'm going to walk by faith. Now I'm going to do what I see in the Word. Do it now. And when the storms of life come against your house, you'll be sitting in there in front of the fire, just rocking and praising God. Isn't that good? I like that. Praise the Lord. So acting on the word is really the thing that causes the culmination of all you've been doing in God's success formula to come about. Acting on the word. Now, mental assent is what we talk about. You know, that's the area that I was talking about a while ago, that when I say I believe in healing, but if I don't believe that God heals me, then there's no power there for me to receive in my body. And mental assent does this. It says, I believe in healing, but I am sick because I hurt. You know, that is mental assent. You say you believe in it, but you really don't believe that God heals me. Or you would put yourself in agreement with that word and not with the pain or so on. And this is something else that you ought to know about mental assent and the word and symptoms of whatever you're believing against, whether it's finances, symptoms of lack, symptoms of sickness. You see, here you are. You're right here in the middle. And here is the word of God, and here is the circumstance of life that you need changed. We'll just take healing. Here is the sickness, the pain in your body or whatever. Now here you are, you're right here in the middle. And here's evidence of pain, and here's evidence of God's word that says you're healed, and you're here in the middle. Now this is the time when it takes action on God's word to bring what you need from God to pass. You have a choice. You can either side in with the pain, or you can side in with the word of God. And whichever way you go, I mean, you're the determining factor. Whichever way you go, that's the results you're going to get. God's word will not fail. The integrity of His word is beyond reproach. If you'll say, I don't care what I see. I don't care what these bills say. I don't care what this pain in my body is telling me. I am not moved by what I see. I believe that God's word is true. I believe that healing belongs to me, and I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm siding in with this word against circumstances. I'm not going to side in with the circumstances. Now, if you'll dare to do that, there is no way but what the word will work. I mean, it doesn't work sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. If you'll place yourself in agreement with what God says and not in agreement with what your body says or your circumstances, God's word will prevail.
Amen.
The elements of this world will have to get in line with the word of God. But you're the determining factor. It's whether you act on what you know when you need it that determines whether you get the results you need or not. And I believe you'll act on it. As truths are revealed to you in the Word, apply them to your circumstances and do them. That's what you're doing when you're siding in with the Word against circumstances. You will learn to act on the Word of God just as you would act on the Word of your doctor, your lawyer, or your very best friend. That's what you're doing. When I was just now giving you that illustration of siding in with the Word, or siding in with the pain or the symptom or the circumstance. Now see, this is a natural thing, and it's easier for people that aren't faith people to do, because like in the medical profession, the doctors have been placed on such a high pedestal that people can nearly go in there just really doubling up with pain. And if he said, honey, there's nothing wrong with you, you don't have anything wrong with you, most of them would say, I don't, you know, because you have confidence in this man's word. Well, a man may fail. I mean, they just don't know everything. But God does not fail. And he has the power to cause his word to come to pass where a man doesn't. You can see how you depend on natural man's word. If a lawyer, you had a problem, you know, and it looked like everything was going to be taken away from you because of this legal technicality. You went to the best lawyer in town, and you were sure until this point that you were going to be wiped out. And he said, well, now look, there's no problem here. That is not right. That information you've gotten, that this legal technicality will cause you to lose everything you've got, that's not right. There's absolutely no truth to that. Why wouldn't you be able to say, oh, gee, I'm so glad to hear that? Well, think about taking God's word just that way, that you'd take a man's word. If you'll take a man's word, you know you can take God's word. So we know you can do it. All right, meditating, we'll just summarize this. This formula. Meditating in God's word causes you to be able to do God's word. Isn't that what it said? It says, meditate in the word day and night so that you may be able to do what is written therein. So that's the reason you meditate, to get it in your heart, so that when you need it, you'll act on it. So meditating in the word opens the door to your being able to do God's word. Doing God's word causes you to make your way prosperous. You meditate on the word that you may observe and do all that is written in it. For then, when you do all that's written in it, then you shall make your way prosperous. So acting on the word makes your way prosperous. That's what I was telling you. The world, the things of this world have no choice. When you act on God's word, you make your way prosperous. You make your way prosperous for health. You make your way prosperous for finances. And when you act on the word and you make your way prosperous, then you deal wisely. You can't act on God's word and not deal wisely. I mean, that is wisdom. That's the wisdom of God. And when you act on his word, you know you're dealing wisely. There's no other way you could be dealing. And when you deal wisely, you have good success. And this formula will work in any area. Anything you put it to work on, you can know because of what the word says that it will work.